or I'm gonna be nice to everybody and who appreciate that will become my friend. Like, how we make friends nowadays? Like, now you guys are over 40.
Whoa. 36.
I'm only just there.
I stopped at 36.
My point is, how we make friends now?
God, we have a guest today.
Woo!
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 It's my best friend, William.
Welcome in.
Should we change your name? How about Bill? I'll call you Bill for the episode.
Well, they thought my name was Liam the other day at Starbucks, so I kind of like that.
Oh, they didn't? Why? Because you said William?
Yeah, because they probably just didn't hear the beginning part of it.
Oh, I'm going to call you Bill. We're going to change his name to Bill for the episode.
Kill Bill.
I just want to clarify, too. I have two best friends. You're my Chicago best friend, and Jennifer, I don't want her to feel left out.
What about me?
Well, best friend is not like a singular thing. It's more of a tier.
That's true. I just don't really have, like, I only use that phrase for you and Jennifer.
Well, yeah.
Maybe in my past, I would have been like, oh, I had a best friend, or who people you're close with at that moment.
I think currently I only use it for you.
Thanks.
Guys, wait a second. I want a drink.
Same.
Cheers.
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 Yeah, we haven't been drinking at all.
To our update, we have a new mic and we have options to have guests in our studio.
Now it's a three-way.
Oh, I like that. Can we do a sandwich? I'll be in the middle.
Okay.
It's you're going to be the ham? I've ever seen.
The ham? I'll be the roast beef.
Roast beef.
You can be the sandwich.
I'll be the mustard.
You're a mustard.
Mustard.
Oh, you get to be the beef?
Roast beef. Haha. It's a joke for vagina.
Like your flappy curtains.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
We were having a heated conversation about vaccinations right now.
Yes.
Maybe that'll come up. We'll see. What are we drinking?
I drink a Bailey's.
A Bailey's?
Yeah.
On the rocks?
On the rocks.
Ooh, you're going to get hammered.
Do you think so?
No.
No, there's just like hardly any alcohol content.
It's just sugary.
Yeah.
And then you like it?
The sweeter it tastes, the less alcohol.
Yeah.
You're so smart about, I swear to God. Yeah, I'm always impressed with your smartness.
Well, they've taught you all that stuff, too. It just didn't stick.
Things don't stick unless I care.
Yeah.
If I don't care, they don't stick.
Yeah.
What you guys talk about?
We're talking about our roadies.
What you guys drinking? Just say it.
We're drinking mimosas.
Woohoo.
William, tell us about a mimosa.
It's orange juice and sparkling wine. See, I said sparkling wine and not champagne.
Why?
Because champagne is from the Champagne
region. That's true.
Of France.
Yeah.
And this stuff came from Mariano's, or Benny's. Maybe Benny's?
They have champagne, though.
I know. I'm just being funny. Like, resourced. Like, it's cheap.
Yeah, it's promotion.
If you're having a mimosa,
we have a promoted episode.
Use champagne.
You're just wasting money.
You're wasting good stuff and covering up with orange juice.
What if you're so if you had so much money, I'm talking like God's money.
Right, yeah.
Would you do mimosas with Dom?
Oh, absolutely.
If I
had the money to. You know, it's actually really funny is, who was it? Somebody I knew, their mom would drink really nice bottles of champagne, would have the first 2-3 glasses straight champagne, and at the end have a mimosa.
That's cute.
Switch it up.
You
enjoyed the quality of it, and then you had a mimosa because you were tired of that dry champagne that you wanted some sweet in your life.
Yeah.
I like that method.
Just like you want a little sweet in your life, and here I am.
Who, me?
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Mostly dry. Sweet sometimes.
And bittery.
He loves that word, bittery.
Bittery.
Wait, I just want to tell everybody how I know William. So I moved
to... How do you know William, Elena?
Bill. My friend Bill, sitting next to me, to my left.
I hate you.
I met Bill when I moved to Chicago in 2012. I transferred with a restaurant that I was working at in California, same restaurant out here in Chicago. And I clicked with you right away. You were so nice and so friendly. And we had a good little friendship. And then I invited you to go to California with me to Coachella Fest. And you said, sure, I'll go. And I feel like from that trip on, like we just became fast friends. And I immediately felt close to you. That was the worst plane ride of my entire fucking life.
Oh yeah,
I thought we were dying for sure. And you reached over and grabbed my hand and you just held it. And you're not a touchy person. You've never been. We talk about how like you and I don't hug a lot.
We aren't.
You say that, and I am too, but we've gotten better.
Yeah, we have. But yeah, we both are. I'm an extremely affectionate person. I'm actually really well known for my hugs.
I've received two.
Wait a second. I have a question. So you guys didn't hang out before you actually go to a trip together?
We probably did like brunches, I think, early on. And I probably gave you rides home every night because I was really good about offering people rides home who was in my same direction.
So I don't know if I ever tell you this. Like, I would always want you to offer me a ride home.
I always did.
I would never ask.
Did I always offer?
Most of the time. But, you know, I've got it's my own little insecurity. Like, I would never, I'm so modest. Like, I would never go and ask someone for a ride. But I'd always kind of put myself around.
like the kids doing my side work,
you know.
Like the cats. Like, they go around your feet and they try to, like, use their tail. But once they touch them, then flip around on their back and they start, like, playing with you.
Yeah, that's actually a really good analogy. Yeah, just kind of being around until you show interest, and then I'm like,
play with my belly.
Give it to me.
I don't mind giving.
That reminds me to all my connections with my friends, and which I'm still close with, because there's people who I've been friends for quite some time, but not right now. I have still friends which are I'm with friends with them, and how it happened? They approached me, and they're like, hey, let's do that. Hey, let's have fun. Let's, like, people have to acknowledge you or have to see some quality of you that they want to hang out with you. And that's how you're, like, opening yourself. If you're, like, quiet, like, William is quiet or kind of like he's, okay, if you approach to me, we can be friends. But before that, I'm not going to open my heart and who am I in front of someone else. Like, you have to, like, make sure you show me first you.
Yeah, people have to come to me. Like, I would. It's funny because my twin brother is the complete opposite. He is the first person to say hello. He's the first person to ask you when he wants something. You know, like, he's not afraid to ask anybody a favor. Like, I would never ask anybody a favor.
Oh, I would.
I would let people offer me a favor. And if I do ask a favor, I feel like I have my tail between my legs the whole time. Like a cat. You know, and I'm like, hey, do you mind if, you know, what do you think about, you know, like, rather than just being like, hey, can you take me home tonight? I don't want to ride the train.
Yeah, because sometimes these
and
people.
And we took the train a lot together, too.
We did take the train a lot together.
We
That might have been more what cemented things.
It was both, because I shared a car with my husband at that time. So whether I had the car or not, I think that I latched on to you because it was someone to walk to the trains with or have a ride home with. And I was so new to a big city. This was all foreign to me. And that, the Grand Red Line, that wasn't the cutest at night.
Yeah, no.
Do you remember that night that we got on? It was me, you, and someone else. And that guy got on and sat right next. You and someone else were in front of me, Fallon maybe. You guys were facing me. We were all talking. And the guy came and sat next to me, but he faced me like this, super close to my head, and just stared at me. And we all just pretended like his face wasn't right here staring. It was really scary and uncomfortable. Do you remember that?
I don't really remember, but I could imagine. I understand the reaction. And what we would have done is just pretended like nothing was
happening.
That's
exactly what we did.
You just don't engage. You just kind of
ignore. He ended up leaving after, like, I kid you not, it felt like 2 solid minutes. It was frightening.
Yeah, but the thing is, sometimes if it's that late at the night, sometimes people are like,
psycho.
They're out of their mind.
Exactly.
They may think some other stuff like happened during the day, but their eyes are showing your direction of your face. That doesn't mean the mind see what the eyes shows.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of weirdos.
I think I hear what you're saying, but in essence, the dude was sitting right next to her, staring at her.
Like, this is my head, like, and he was like this.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I could. He was right here.
At the same time, the red line and the blue line in Chicago are the more treacherous lines because they run 24 hours a day.
People stay warm on them.
So it's known as a haven of something that's always going to be moving, whereas some of the other color lines stop moving at 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, you know. The red line and blue line are 24/7, so they're always running, always moving, so they do attract a different element. And
some homeless guys who try to warm up.
And they run the whole length of the city. You know, like, I think they're the longer lines.
So you can stay on a train for like 2 hours.
easy. Yeah,
and
I'm
it's warm.
Curious how long it would be from one end to the other.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know some woman in the Red Eye. I don't think they even make the Red Eye paper anymore.
Oh my! I have a story about that.
She used to ride all the different lines, all the bus lines, all the train lines in the city, and like mapped them all out and like write articles and about the different things that she saw along that line and that like.
When I first came to Chicago, we were walking around the city, and we got sold. I got sold a Red Eye. Some guy's like, hey, you got a red eye. I know. You got a red eye paper all about Chicago. Get your red eye. And I was like, oh, I'll take one. A couple dollars. You know, he gives me the red eye. It was a couple dollars magazine about what the events that are happening in the summer. It's fucking free. You can get them everywhere.
So, yeah. But homeless try to make money.
He did.
But that's a good thing. Better than just beg for money.
I guess that's true.
Well,
like,
and that also brings you to Streetwise. Streetwise here in Chicago is a magazine that is printed for the homeless, or maybe not homeless, indigent, you know, people that don't have money or can't really work, for them to sell a magazine on a street corner. It's actually legitimate. Like there's contributors, there's a crossword in it. It's pretty easy. It wasn't really challenging. But like there's little articles and stuff.
You're a
like
nerd.
That somebody I know.
You I'm just had to slip that in there.
But like it's
I did a Sudoku puzzle and it was really easy.
But anyway, there's a little magazine and it's like $2-3 and it's even so fancy as like some of these guys will actually take have a square and you'll be able to pay with your card or something like that. But it's like $2 or $3 and it feels like you're keeping somebody off the streets, but they're on the streets, but you're just helping a homeless person. These magazines are donated to them. They go stand on a corner and then they keep the profits.
Oh,
so
I didn't know about that. That's great.
If you ever see Streetwise, then it's actually not a bad thing to give someone money for.
Who are you texting?
My mom.
Bullshit.
Your mom is a podcast.
Uh-huh.
I'm texting my mom.
Your mom is interrupting our podcast.
Your yes. mom is interrupting.
What you doing?
Podcast.
I'm like doing an episode. Really?
Mm-hmm. Wait, I want to go back. I want to go back first. I'm first. I started talking first.
No, let's go back and see who started talking first.
I mean, if you feel like it.
No, okay. Talk about whatever you want to say and I'm going back.
Fine, and then you can text your mom
yes,
while I go back.
That was air quotes. If you didn't hear the air quotes,
how can you see
it's
in Cyrillic?
Let me see.
It's in Cyrillic.
I don't know what any of that means.
Cyrillic? I love. Is that how you say it, or is that just how you pronounce it?
It's Kirilitsa.
Ooh, Kirilitsa.
You know how it comes from the name Kirill?
Kill?
Kirill and Metodi. They are two of the guys who invent this Kirill, like Cyril, what is called?
Cyrillic. We say Cyrillic.
Cyrillic. Yeah. So it's named on this guy who created.
Oh, well, that makes sense because in language and in the way most letters are phonetic and the alphabet was spread by the Phoenicians. So that's
okay.
Why it's phonetic.
Exactly.
You're so smart. I swear you are.
I know a lot of little stupid stuff.
I know. You have like smart. This weird brain where you just know shit. And yeah. You remember stuff. And
it just sticks.
I know. I'm impressed by that. I have the street smarts and you have the brains, the book
hey,
smarts.
Yeah, I got street smarts.
Yeah, you do.
How you became friends with Jennifer? Do you remember?
Yes.
So who approached first?
I don't remember that. We went to the same bus stop. I do know the exact day. I mean, not the date, but I know exactly when our bond started. So we used to walk in seventh grade or eighth grade. We walked to the same bus stop and we would wait for our bus to go to junior high school. Our bus stop was right in front of the high school, which we ended up going to later. But it was like a dirt lot. So somehow we started talking and just hanging out there before we got on our bus. So her and I became friends. One day, we were all standing there before our bus picked us up, and high school kids were crossing the road to go to school, and a car drove through speeding and didn't stop at the stop signs, drove through, and we saw, I don't know if it was two or three kids get hit. Jennifer and I and whoever else was there, we watched their bodies get hit with the car and they flew. I remember exactly. Their bodies flew in the air like dummies, like dummy dolls.
This is a really weird way to start a friendship.
I know. Their bodies flew in the air and bounced all over the place and landed on the floor and the car drove off. So like, I think it was two kids were hit. It was a girl and a boy.
Hit and run even.
It was a hit and run.
Yeah.
And they were out or dead or whatever they were. And Jennifer and I were traumatized. I was just like internal shocked. Jennifer is a very sensitive person and connected to people, and like she lost it and she was hysterical. And we went to school. Our bus picked us up. Police were there. Ambulance was there. For all we knew, those kids were dead. We didn't. It was traumatic.
I won't go to school if I see that. Well, I'll go back home. And
we didn't know what to do. We were like 12. So we go to school and they take all of us straight into the counseling office who saw the accident. And they called all of our parents. They offered counseling for us and they sent us home that day. We all went home. Jennifer's mom, I don't know why, what the situation was, but Jennifer came home with me. And my mom came home from work to like console us. And I was okay. Like, I'm pretty tough. I mean, I can see a lot of shit and it doesn't really affect me. Jennifer was, I swear.
But that thing is like a tragic. Well,
maybe it affects me, but in a very, I don't know, maybe I hold on. Who knows? Anyway, so
I think it'd be different if you actually knew who those kids were.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, it was still crazy to watch.
Right, it's crazy, but it didn't hit sensitively home to you.
No, it was awful, but I mean, Jennifer seemed more upset by it.
Right, yeah.
But we spent that whole day together, like, and that was our bonding moment. We watched a traumatic event happen together, and that we immediately bonded, and that's it. We became friends. And then from that moment on, I would go to her house. She would come to my house. My mom hated her, hated Jennifer. So I wasn't allowed to have Jennifer over. My mom didn't like Jennifer because I couldn't have someone over because I had too much stuff to do. So I couldn't have friends over. I wasn't allowed to have friends over. And Jennifer's a big personality and she's very loud. And when she laughs, she's super loud. And she just annoyed my mom. She annoyed my mom. So I wasn't allowed to have Jennifer over. So I snuck her over all the time. You know, Jennifer and I's bond started with that event. And then we started hanging out at each other's houses. I would sneak Jennifer in. Jennifer's mom liked me, so I could go to her house. And
so how it should happen to find a friend, to become a friend with somebody, should have some reason that it connect to each other, like somebody should approach to you and be like, hey, let's go travel together, or hey, let's, I don't know, go together to work, to school.
It's different when you're that much younger. Obviously, you guys had a weird situation. And I remember my first best friend, Tennille. You know, like, I remember walking over and being like, hey, you want to be my friend? You know, right. Like, it doesn't
really
happen
no connection.
That. Yeah, that doesn't happen as easily as when you're older. For me, then, that was proximity. And honestly, for you and I, that we wouldn't have become friends if we weren't forced in the situation of working together.
Right.
I mean, I know, I want to, like, brag about myself, but like I always in a restaurant, like I always try to be nice to the new person because I hate being the new person. I remember when actually I went over to work after we left that restaurant, after Elena left that restaurant, I left a little while after, went to go work in the restaurant she was working at then, like
because we've worked at three restaurants together.
I did not want to be the new person anymore. Yeah. You know, like I want to be the guy who knows what's everything, knows what's up, knows everybody already. And then here I am entering as the new guy again.
It took me so like, long to get you over there too.
Yeah.
Same in school. Like if you go to a new school, you'd be like new person and hey, everybody, that's the new kid. Say hi.
Exactly. And I always, you know, like I was always the nerd. I was the nerd at this place and that place, work or school or whatever. I actually had a friend a few years ago message me on Facebook after I accepted her friend request. And she said, hey, I just wanted to tell you that I always remember that you were the first person that was nice to me in high school.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
You introduced yourself to me and you said, hey, you know, her name is Kim. God, I can't remember what her last name was anymore. She has a different last name that's kind of Italian and I can't say it, but God, what was her name? Anyway, she sent me a message and it was like one of the nicest things. And it was because I know how it is to be an outsider, to not fit in. So I always try to make people fit in. I may later not be friends with them and they might fit in more than I do. But, you know, like I just like to be nice to somebody. Like I enjoy being nice to people.
So you feel like you may get hurt if you try to approach somebody first. And that's why you're like, okay, I'll be like the one who's going to be approached. And after that, I'm going to open myself and be like nice to you. Or I'm going to be nice to everybody and who appreciate that will become my friend. Like how we make friends nowadays. Like now you guys are over 40.
Whoa. 36.
I'm only just there.
I stopped at 36.
My point is,
let me ask you this question.
How we make friends now?
Because this is going to be different from you. Well, maybe not, but I feel like my most important friendships have come later in life when I was more as an adult. Jennifer is the only person I've remained friends with since childhood. I really don't have childhood friends. You may have a different story.
I mean, like, the majority of my friends probably were, like, 19 on my long-term friends.
Don't you feel like it changes as well with different periods absolutely. Of your life?
I mean, I do have a really good friend, Lindsay, love you, who we actually went to elementary school together, but we weren't friends. There was a whole ordeal about us prank calling her when we were little kids, you know, like...
To be mean?
Yeah, because we just didn't get along. We weren't friends, but... Somewhere later in life, and don't ask me where, I don't know how it happened, but she circled back into my life, and she's been one of my closest friends. Like, you met her. She was one of the ones that came here from Michigan to surprise us for our birthday when I thought my birthday was going to be absolutely horrible because everything that's going on. And they, like, snuck into town. And
are they the ones that made birthday. The amazing Hawaiian bread sandwiches?
Yeah, I knew you were going to talk about this again.
My God. At their birthday party, there was these little sandwiches. I don't know what was in them. Crack. I think there was like crack butter. I think I had like 9.
Yeah. So. That's saying something. You don't really pig out on things.
No, that's not true. Well, if I pig out, I pig out.
That's true. So I just don't see you eating something like that a lot of.
Well, I think the problem was I had one.
Yeah.
Like they were like, you got to try one. It's so good. I'm like, okay, I'll have one. And then that was it. Like I went in there like 4 times to get sandwiches.
So how we make.
How do you make friends
now? You keep going
now?
Back to that. What's the answer that you want?
I don't think so. It's harder, especially now, because we don't have the social interaction. We don't have the chance encounter to meet somebody. But, you know, hopefully if we're starting new jobs or, you know, you have the opportunity. If someone starts a job with you, you know, you're working in a place, you know, with a large amount of people. There's going to be new hires at some point. Okay. Maybe if you want more friends, maybe you should approach more people. Be friendly, be the welcoming person that invites people in. But, like, it's kind of hard to say, how do you make friends, you know? Like,
I mean, I think usually you make friends with people that have similar interests and tastes as you. That
exactly.
That you're like, you like sushi too? So right. Do I. We should grab sushi together. Whatever. I just use food as an example.
You guys went to a concert together, so you may like going to a concert. Yeah,
I had never been either.
I'd never been to a music festival, and I probably had been to maybe 3 concerts at that point in my life.
I had only been to Coachella a handful of times, but it wasn't like my thing. I just knew that I was going home, and I wanted to bring a friend, and we were close at that time, and yeah.
Connect you. Like, rather being your job.
He just felt like a brother. Like, not a brother, but you just felt like someone I've known for a long time. Like, it's just always been very easy.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like I needed to get to know you. I mean, it's still easy. It's just easy.
It's
like,
just,
maybe our souls were
kind
connected
of find
in.
It, but I think that if you are trying to make friends, or how do you make friends at this point, like, be open. Be open to saying hello to a new person. Be open to making small talk and conversation with another person. Because, yeah, a lot of times that's real awkward and it's real difficult. But you could end up making a really
cracking,
good friend.
Yeah.
Another one of my friends is actually a similar story. I worked at another restaurant in Michigan, and she had worked. She transferred from one location to another. And
who is it?
Rachel.
I hate her.
Yeah.
I don't know her. I'm just kidding.
You actually did meet her. She,
do I hate her?
She I hate came. Her. I mean, what if she listens to this? Why do I say you hate her?
Did we do an escape room with her?
We did.
Oh.
I hate her.
And... But she walked in the door, and I saw, like, the employee folder in her hand. It was a very corporate restaurant. I saw the employee folder in her hand, and I was like, what do you think? You can just walk in this place and get a job with your employee folder, you know? Like, just messing with her, you know? I was behind the bar again, you know? But we maintained a good friendship. I mean, we don't see each other a lot, but we see each other at least once a year now, you know? Like, she's a good friend. I've stayed friends with her because just say hi to somebody. Just... be friendly. I think, Michal, I think you and I were cordial and friendly because you introduced yourself right away when we first met.
You're very friendly.
I remember when we first met. You were like, you said your name was Michal. You said it like twice. I didn't understand
because
of your
accent. Because he's like, Michal.
And
you're like, what?
And then you told me your name was Mitchell. And I was like, okay. It's not.
You told me Mike. And I said, no, it's not.
I was exactly. In my head, I was like, your name's not fucking Mitchell.
It isn't. My point is, you're leaving America. You hired to go in another country. Let's say Spain. You're going to Spain and you're by yourself. No parents, no friends, nobody. How are you going to make friends? How are you going to...
It's the exact same way. Who you have a conversation with?
Would you not reach first to the community of Americans in Spain?
No, I wouldn't. Like, no. I would want more of a cultural...
That's how I did it. When I came to the States, I was like...
That's your problem.
Bulgarians in the state.
And after that, I'm looking for people from my hometown. Yes.
Do you think...
To find exact blood, exact mentality, same people, to see, okay, they can help me, but I can help them. They know how I think.
That gave you friendships that were new and outside of what your comfort zone was, or do you think that just gave you comfort?
That's giving me comfort of knowing somebody. They know where I'm from. Yeah. We may have same like world. It's small. Like you can see it of. As you go on the other side of the planet and meet people from your hometown, right, and you're going to be like,
it happens. Oh,
I have my same friend and you know him. Like we did that. We did there. Like it's so small. And that's keep you connected and keep calling you each other and hang out.
I guess it depends on how much you really want to be connected to what you were before. You know, like you clearly wanted to hold a connection to what you left in Bulgaria into your community. And
that's your comfort.
I can imagine English was part of the, you know, the language. Reason being the language barrier was probably part of it, you know, that you felt more comfortable with people that could understand your broken English or your Bulgarian, you know, like more than. So I guess I think that's going to add a different layer to it. You know, like luckily for us stupid Americans, you know, English is spoken everywhere, so we can be our dumb American English speaking selves everywhere we go, and people are 9 times out of 10 going to be able to talk to us, you know. But like, yeah, I guess it's different, you know, being exposed to a completely different culture. You know, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to learn a new culture, or are you trying to be comfortable? And I think I would want to, if I lived in Spain, I don't think I'd want to meet any white person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, would you want to reach out to the Americans there?
No,
that's boring. I don't think so. Me neither. No. I wouldn't do that.
These questions and many more, we're going to continue responding back in a second, guys.
We're going to take a little break.
Stay with us.
Okay, all right. Perfect.
Who cares what we talked before the break?
And we're back.
Nobody cares.
We're back. Just your mom.
I need to learn those buttons.
Aren't they great?
I got 2 down already, I think.
I have them written here. I need to rewrite them.
Is that what
though.
That thing is?
Yes, it's so I know which buttons to press.
It did feel like you were playing a game.
It is a game.
It is a game.
It's the only thing I get to touch on the Rodecaster Pro.
And she can touch my balls with her feet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say.
You didn't, but you just
can't reach. I mean, like, that's the only thing you can reach. I told you should have sat next to him.
So, how we make friends?
How do we make friends?
Tell me, like, ask me. Okay, ask me. I'm ready to talk because I didn't talk anything
clearly,
in the first part.
Clearly, you're feeling left out.
Exactly. That's why I want to change the
how
topic.
Do you meet friends? You reached out to your native culture here in America instead of meeting the native indigenous people.
There's a little disdain there in
no,
case
there's
you didn't
so many.
I just don't get it. I wouldn't do the same thing.
There are so many things you don't know about this new country.
To my best friend,
we
William.
We made a drink during the break.
His name
that was the break for, to make a drink.
It was.
Bill Mendez.
So my point is, when you go to a new country and if you don't know anything about it, you have to know about new places to go, about new people to meet. So you socialize with the same people, you feel comfort.
But then you don't step same out religion. Of your
I could see
skin.
That being an easy that's way the first, of doing things.
That's the first intro when you're
that's
going.
Your first step.
First step. After that, you're like, okay, I like this place. I can go without my friends or people I met here, and I can go and find a new friends because I like this place, but and whoever goes there, I may like them. I would try to approach them. But before
do you
that,
think like culturally, like, you know, like, do you think that Bulgarians are just friends with Bulgarians in the US? Like, do you feel like when you met more Bulgarians here, do you think that opened you up to American culture or just kept you with the same traditions and thoughts did it really give you more friends outside of what you would have made back home.
But that's the thing. Do you need more friends from like different
You are
countries?
Answering the question. You're yeah, answering no, the question yes, with a question.
I hear what you're saying, but you want to... Yes, you need different friends you because want, you need different perspectives.
You need your friends back from your country, but you cannot have them over your phone. That's why you're coming here and find the people with the same personality, same thoughts, same lifestyle. You may after like adapt to the new culture in the States from living a year or two, decide, okay, I didn't move back to the States because to be the same person. I want to mature. I want to grow. That's why I'm going to be like, step away from these people in this culture. I'll respect it, but I just want to find my way and my path and find my friends.
I guess it just depends on what you want. You know, like if you are looking for friends, are you looking for friends that absolutely share your same thoughts and goals and ideas? Or are you looking for friends that challenge your ideas and maybe look at something different, you
okay,
know?
Like, and can I step in here with that? And this is just for you to learn as well. One of the best qualities I love about our friendship, you and I, we see very similar on many things. We also are completely opposite politics, vaccinations, on a lot of things.
I've remembered arguing with you before and being like upset in my mind with you for a couple of days.
Yeah, but because you and I are able to share an argument, have a conversation, and then respect each other for, I respect you and your decisions. Like when we had that heated conversation a minute ago about vaccinations, like I love you so much. I can hear your point and I can understand it. It's not the same one that I have, but I like the fact that we don't agree on everything. That's what makes our friendship so special.
Well, and I think it makes it a little easier because we are friends that I'm not going to completely hate you for it. And I hope that
some people aren't like that.
But yeah, because they weren't friends first. I don't think topics like this, while they can be polarizing, you know, end friendships often. I mean, I'm sure they do. But I'm your friend. You think differently than I do. I think that's kind of partly what adds to it because I don't want somebody who's just like me. I mean, I'd like to be a friends that share my ideas and that, but like if I was in a new country, like you said, like I'd want someone with different ideas.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
You know, and it's actually almost like a contradiction to already my beliefs because I feel like if I went to Europe, I may see... In some aspects, I think I might see a more progressive view of things. In some aspects, I might see a less progressive, you know, more religious, more devout community, you know, that exists in a lot of different European countries.
And
you
learn.
Like, and I would learn from that. I would learn their maybe even their religious practices.
But are you learning when you have the exact same mindset of what you already know?
No,
you're not learning
anything. And it's honestly, it's one of those things, like, I mean, I read a lot of stuff that I post and stuff I see on Facebook and that, but how many times do I read a post on Facebook and completely agree with it? Because those are my friends already. You know, I have an aunt that... Oh, man, it's hard to read some of the stuff that she posts on Facebook, but I do because I need to see her opinion, and that's not even her opinion, it's somebody else's she's resharing, but I need to see the way that she thinks, and I need to be able to analyze it critically, and I need to be able to even read it enough to know how to disagree with her in the future. And it's finally getting off like on a tangent.
Okay, but
a little
something
bit,
but happening to you, and you are not feeling... like enough, like open to share that with everybody who you just met or you are friend with them, but they are from different culture. Can you not like share that with, like if you keep it in yourself, that may destroy you. I don't know what it is, but I'm saying you get harassed or something and you just want to share it to Bulgarians, to friends that they may experience that or they may just know the culture here and they know how to react.
You're staying in your same box,
I'm saying Americans, they may be like, that's normal. But for Bulgarians, it's a new, and you have to learn through people who already experienced that, how to acknowledge
adapt
this,
to
how
that
to
culture.
Adapt to this.
To navigate to new culture.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. You just have to do that step, or you have to just think about
think
that.
In this
stay away
age,
from this.
As we're here, you could have Googled that shit.
I feel like that's just
you
part of your youth.
You could have, well, and it is, it could be age, but you could just, right now, you could Google that. You could be...
Okay, Google is my friend. I don't need friends. But
like
what about
just,
emotions? What about just people to lift you up?
Okay, so Americans can't lift you up?
Yeah.
Yes, they can. People I met here, they lift me up. I like that.
Yeah, but you tend to stay in your same circle, so therefore you're not growing.
It sounds like you're saying that something, I mean, I don't want to dig too deep or whatever, but it sounds almost like you had an instance where you felt out, you know, out of sorts or whatever, like something happened to you when you first moved here, and you didn't really know how to process it as not an American, you know, like...
Well, sometimes you feel good to see the same people and same mentality as you grow up with. That doesn't mean you like it, or that doesn't mean, just feel is like show you where you were and yeah, now where you are now.
It depends on, I think it goes back to depending on what you want. Did you move across the Atlantic Ocean for comfortability? Or did you move for new experiences?
I moved for new experience. I didn't move
but you didn't
move anything to somebody.
And it's kind of hard for you, right? Yeah, sometimes it's because of a person or this, that, the other. But like, I mean, if I moved to another country, which, man, I love Spain.
Me too. That's on my list. Spain.
I literally, like, when I
was in
Europe. Let's
open, like, a bed and breakfast.
When I was in Europe, I was like, how can I be an expat? Like, how is this a thing? How do you get to go over here and do things? Like, what are the rules? You know, because I could see myself doing it. Because I loved the way that people lived, the way they're different. And I love all sorts of stupid little stuff. I was so excited. My friend came home to make dinner one night when we were in Amsterdam. I did see a friend I already knew, but his culture is very different than mine. But there was these little fucking frozen balls of spinach and cream. They're like these little, like, ice cubes of spinach and cream. And you threw it in a dish with pasta.
Yum.
And you got dinner. Why doesn't that exist here? They're just like these little ice
cubes. I love going to foreign stores.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think what you're not, what you don't understand, and we understand it from a different age group.
I think it's because of age, yeah.
It's age. I think you have to find yourself, and you have to feel completely comfortable in yourself to go to another country and explore that country. You don't feel confident in yourself, so you latch on to the only thing you know, which is your Bulgarians. That's your comfort.
No, the thing is, wherever you go, if you still live the life you used to live and you're looking for the people like you used to hang out, you are the same person living in a different place. That's not what I'm looking for. Exactly. I'm looking for to grow up and mature and actually adapt in a different culture, open my mind and live
I'm
in
gonna
a different
call
place.
You out on but it. Think, and that's I absolutely think, not think, true.
It is true. I'm changing. What do you mean, Elena?
You don't have any American friends.
I think what you're saying is what you mean, but I don't know that you went about it the right way.
I don't know how to make American friends.
Because you only circle with Bulgarians.
Yeah.
You make no effort to have a friendship with other people that aren't Bulgarian.
I feel you.
Like, I'm not saying that's wrong.
Friend. I feel you like my friend.
Okay, but I'm your partner. Yeah. That's different. Like, well, yes, I'm your friend, but then you can expand from that as well.
Yes, and I am. And I'm hanging out.
You are. You're learning.
Most of the time, I'm hanging out with you and your friends rather than with me and my friends. And I'm staying with you and I live with you rather than staying in my place and hang out in the burbs. Because of I'm learning that, I'm getting better at my job and I just doing what I'm supposed to do, not what I
Is there a lot more
right.
of the Bulgarian community out in the burbs?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the place where I live and on
like,
west.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I think I can speak for Melania here because I know she's experienced these things and I want to. Like, we don't want you to lose those connections because we want to learn them from you. You know, like, we want to go to that Bulgarian restaurant with all the windows covered up. You know, like, we want to go to that place where maybe y'all dance till 3 a.m.
And throw napkins.
You know, and throw napkins. You have to buy them.
He did. He bought $100 worth of napkins last week.
You have to buy napkins.
I don't pay.
Actually, it probably was just a hooker and he couldn't tell you.
No, that's the thing. So I have a credit card I have to use to earn some points for a flight tickets,
I use
her credit card
to buy napkins.
But I had a cash, and I was spending all my cash for a DJ and for napkins before and for drums before I actually start using this credit
and
card
drums,
for that.
What are you spending money on drums for? What wire drums?
Like the guy who is like making the sound.
The
while
drummer.
Drummer.
Oh, you're tipping the drummer?
I'm like putting it over his forehead.
You'll have to show him. There's like little guys with drummers, and you have to pay them.
This is where I'm at. This is where I'm at.
You want that experience. Like,
I want to know your culture. I don't want you to completely lose it. You know, I want you to be able to find it. All right. Yeah. So it's funny because, like, actually, and I don't know, we're taking you to show tunes when things get back to normal. Musical Mondays, if you will, at Sidetrack.
I hate it.
And it's fun because everybody sings along to these weird musicals and stuff, but there's moments where everybody throws napkins in the air. And I always feel bad about the dude that has to, like, walk around with a dustpan and the broom and, like, clean up all those. Like, every time I see him, I'm like, sorry, you got to do that, man.
I'm just doing that. There's girls who are so, like, they don't like that, and they're like, that's so silly and so stupid, and I'm trying to approach them like the guy who is, like, the nice guy who showed that he has money. As much money you have, that means as if you throw more napkins on the air, it means you have stupid money to spend.
More disposable income, yeah.
And I'm going to the bar, and I'm just ordering a new drink, and there is a girl on the bar that was, like, 5-6 years ago.
Sure, you mean last weekend?
No.
Oh. Or spent judgment-free Joe.
And $400 at the club last weekend. Alone. Yeah.
No.
Look at me. He was alone.
Yeah.
So listen.
Air quotes for those of you who can't see.
So listen. And she's like, why throwing these napkins? I'm like, I don't like stepping up on the floor. I just bought these shoes. I want to step up on a clear carpet of napkins.
Stupid.
It's just making fun, but it's the reality is just I like throwing napkins, and everybody knows me for that.
For being dumb?
So, yeah, and
but it's
sometimes
not just
that's
you.
How
it's a thing. You can actually buy napkins. Like, that's weird. As Americans, you don't buy napkins. Napkins are free.
Right.
I challenge any American who's ever bought a package of napkins.
Well, I mean, you buy napkins for your house, but not at a bar.
No, you buy paper towels. Or
also, if you went in a bar and threw napkins, the guys would usher you out.
Yeah, well, Sidetrack, you know, like they throw them, like that's a whole thing. There's a point in a song. Everybody throws them in the air and they come raining
that's
down.
That's fun.
But and it's fun and it's
I
cool.
I have been here and people throw money. That's stupid for me.
Money?
That's an Atlanta. Are
you at a wedding?
Huh?
Were you at a wedding?
No, in a strip club.
Oh, well, a strip club. Yeah, I mean, they're taking
people,
their clothes
like,
off.
I was on a party that people throw $300,000 on the floor for one night.
Yeah.
So,
there's a strip club in Windsor in Canada with vacuums that suck the money off the dance floor.
Nice.
I'm saying if you throw napkins, it's less stupid than throw money.
Yeah,
you know,
when you're throwing money, you're throwing money for people to take their clothes off. If you throw napkins, does a girl take her top off?
No.
Okay.
And Greek, and I'm saying Greek culture and Arabic culture, they throw roses, like leaves of flowers.
Like petals? Yeah, petals.
They throw them like that, and I don't get it.
But for what?
Like
at a strip club or at a bar?
In a nightclub.
I like that better.
See, because, throwing
that's
singles at
romantic.
A strip club is different.
Romantic, come on.
It is. A petal of a rose, I'm into that. Let's throw them.
But yeah, okay, it's a romantic
good,
because
it's
yeah,
pretty.
Right.
It's not but as trashy as a fucking napkin.
Why are you throwing rose petals?
Why are you throwing napkins?
I told you why us homos throw them. We throw them at the bar at the end of a song because it's funny.
Are you a homo?
Oh, I'm a homo.
My God, all this time I thought you were into me.
No. You know what's funny? When I first met Mihail, I thought he was into me.
Ooh.
See, because you're friendly, and I was just like, hey, who's that guy?
I didn't even see guys like girls. Like, if I see a guy...
you don't see me as a girl. Hopefully, you don't. But
No, I'm saying when I see a guy, I don't see it at the point that I can do anything with him but just be a friend or work.
I think that that's also European, though. Europeans are much more, in general...
Conservative?
No.
No, I think that, opposite.
You're friendly and nice, and it's okay to touch someone and give them a hug and be friendly. And here in America, you do that shit and you're gay. You can't do that. You gotta be macho.
No, but what I learned from the States is like if you go in back in Bulgaria and like cross looks with somebody, they're gonna be like, "What you looking for? You wanna snap
too.
In the face?" Like here, I learned like if somebody see me and cross like
eye contact,
and they're like, "Hey," like actually gonna say hi. Like people
I think
do that.
That's actually even more so geographical. Because here in the Midwest, in Chicago, especially in Detroit area where I grew up, like when you're walking down the street, you look somebody in the eyes. And actually, you know, in a different respect, you know, like when I'm in a seedy area and I'm walking down the street, rather than be afraid of somebody I'm walking down the street past, I'm going to lock eyes with them. I'm going to look at them, and they're going to see my eyes and know I'm a person. And it's an eye contact and a personal thing. But I had a boyfriend who was from the East Coast, from outside of Philadelphia, and he used to get so mad that people made eye contact with him. Mm. He always thought it was like ready a for threat. A fight, because it's his East Coast mentality. In the East Coast, you don't make eye contact with people. In the Midwest, you make eye contact with somebody and you walk down the street and see them, because you're telling them, I see you. You're a person. And hey, you know what? Maybe that's how you make friends.
With eye contact.
Say hello and eye contact and say
be
hi.
Be personable.
Yeah.
You share know, your
like
experience.
You're opening yourself to somebody. You're saying, hey, I'm open to talk to. I'm open to be a friend, you know.
Well, we can have discussion about that in a long period of time. Like, it's always something to say. If you guys want to say more about it, please write a comment below. Let us know what you think about it. Follow us on Instagram.
How you make your friends.
Write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Share.
I'd love some stories about like how
friendships
you made your friend for the first time. Like,
yeah.
Like, especially if it's like something like a bunch of kids got hit by a car.
Right.
You know, like fun stories like that, or how you opened yourself up and became vulnerable in a situation when you were the outcast, and how you made friends that way.
Yeah. What you guys think about it? Listen to the end and let us know in the comments below. And you know what? Add in the comments your best friend.
That's how he's gonna listen to us. So cute. Tag your best friend.
Are you gonna tag me in this?
Are you
Am
my
I gonna
best
get
friend?
Followers from this?
Oh my god, I hope so. Are you gonna share this episode? Do you know how?
I don't know.
I'll come over to your house and I'll do it for you.
Instagram is totally
no Spotify. Like, I'll help you share Spotify.
Oh. Do I have a thing there? Do I have a name?
You will.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bill.
All right.
You will, Bill.
You will, Bill.
We have to pay for this. I'm kind of cheap.
Say hi to your mom.
That's my line. Tell your mom I said hi.
Bye-bye.
My mom's dead.